The following is a discussion by His Divine Grace Satsup Das Goswami, recorded on December 22, 1980, in Washington, D.C., regarding the meeting of several GBC members with Srila Sridhar Maharaj in Navadvip, India, on October 21, 1980.
I am recording this talk at the ISKCON Potomac Center after hearing four cassette tapes of seven GBC members talking with Srila Sridhar Maharaj. I thought the issues they discussed were very significant for my disciples, especially because of the answers given by Sridhar Maharaj and the way the GBC members responded to him, bringing about a resolution under Sridhar Maharaj's guidance. Just before his disappearance, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, our beloved spiritual master and the founder, Acharya of ISKCON, said that we should go to his godbrother, Sridhar Maharaj, for guidance on philosophy after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada. So this talk of October certainly showed the GBC members doing this and Sridhar Maharaj fulfilling this role as Prabhupada requested he do for the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. I will summarize briefly the talks up to a certain point, and then I'll play excerpts from the time when Sridhar Maharaj did most of his talking. The members were going to Sridhar Maharaj to settle big problems, particularly Srila Hansaduda Maharaj and Srila Tamalakrishna Maharaj wanted to present their grievances. As most of you probably know, back in April, the GBC, at a meeting, took action against these two Guru God brothers for certain activities of theirs, which were deemed improper. The two gurus submitted to the decision and left their zones in the care of others. And they went to India. But there, when they heard from their different disciples how things were going on in their absence, they became disturbed and felt that the treatment by the GBC caretakers was causing a disturbance in their relationship with their disciples. So since the GBC members couldn't settle this themselves, both sides agreed to let Sridhar Maharaj judge what was an impasse for everyone else. So both sides were willing to go along with Sridhar Maharaj. The gurus wanted a correction in their relationship with their disciples, not to be interfered with. Other GBC members, however, wanted Sridhar Maharaj to fully hear the claims of wrongdoings and the need for the GBC to manage the society by law, because Srila Prabhupada did appoint the GBC as the final managerial authority. The main meeting was at another time when GBC members came, including Srila Bhagavan Goswami, Jayapataka Swami, Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami, Prabhupada Kripa Maharaj, Srila Hansaduda Maharaj, and Gopal Krishna Prabhu. Sridhar Maharaj proceeded by asking each of them to say what they thought was going on and what they thought should be done. He said he wanted to help, but he wanted them to help him by expressing how they saw it. So in this way, all the issues were presented and brought out, expressing both the guru's disturbance and the other GBC's concern that the movement had to be governed, and that even a guru or GBC member who misbehaves will cause bad effect to the worldwide movement's preaching. I have condensed this in what I've just said because I'm not interested in presenting party sides or details of this argument, which in the future will become something not so much remembered. So that is not my point in presenting this tape to my disciples. But the principles of the issues, especially as seen by Sridhar Maharaj, are important. So now we'll get to that. What I would like to do is play some section of Sridhar Maharaj speaking. But then after a few minutes, I think I will speak afterwards. My disciples and other listeners may have trouble understanding him because the speech was recorded low and because of his personal inflection, although his English is very good. So, although he spoke without my interruption, since I'm making a kind of summary study, I will from time to time stop the recording and try to simply summarize what he said and perhaps add some comments of my own.
It is very difficult to bring an acharya under rule. You see, that is our practical experience. The position of acharya, please hear, note, the position of acharya is a relative thing. Just as mother, child, father, child, wife, husband. So, it is a relative thing. The disciple, the position, that also is relative. The relative and the absolute relation to adjust, being adjust between two, is a difficult thing and it is eternal. So, in the Rasa, in the Vajra-rasa, even there is enmity between Vatsala-rasa and the Madhura-rasa. Yashoda thinking that my son is lost, Madhura-rasa, they have captured my son. And the gopis in Madhura-rasa, they see that Vatsala is always generous to us. Our pre-mixing, that is a hindrance to the way of our pre-mixing.
So, can't be disturbed, and yet somehow he has to go on in his interactions with his god brother and the society. All right.
Still two things to be continued. Rasa, it is clearly written in Shastra that Vatsala and Madhura do two antagonistic rasa. One always suspicious, the other is encroaching on my right. Very jealous encroachment coming from the other side on my rightful position. This is an eternal truth. So we have to accommodate with such mentality and such broadness of our heart. And absolute consideration will come, they will have to attach both rasas within the court. So, to the disciple, Acharya's position is supreme, even more than God. In scripture we find it. The Guru is more nearer and affectionate than God. God has many to deal with, but Guru is always careful about mine, my welfare. The other day I told to some of you that it is described, the Guru is water around the lotus and the sun is the God. Remove the water, sun will burn the lotus. And when this water is around the lotus, the sun will foster with the lotus. But the Guru removed, the very God, the very sun will burn the lotus. The Guru's position is more helpful to the disciples. If we have a natural growth, if we want natural growth of the Shraddha of the disciple, the regard of the disciple towards the Guru, the Absolute. So such room should be allowed in the constitution. If the constitution is to live at all, some adjustment must have to come between the relation. And it is better that the acharyas themselves, they will come take under him direct to put the adjustment between acharya and the God brother, acharya and his disciples, and the disciples and the disciples. All these fine points of sentiment. Sentiment is not to be neglected. Law is not everything. Law should be accommodating to grow the sentiment. Otherwise, this is no law.
I will simply summarize for clearer hearing. Sridhar Maharaj said some more about the two rasas being antagonistic to each other. But with broad-mindedness, they have to be accommodated together for spiritual harmony. Then he spoke about the position of the acharya to the disciple. He said that for the disciple, the acharya's position is supreme. The guru is dearer and he's nearer to the disciple and more dear than God. Because God has to deal with so many, but the disciple sees that his guru is dealing personally with his welfare only. Then he compared the relationship with a metaphor. The guru is water around the lotus, and the sun is God. So if you remove the water from the lotus as it's floating, then the sun will burn the lotus. But if the water is there around the lotus, then the sun will make the lotus bloom. So the metaphor is that if you take away the guru, then the very sun or God, Krishna, will burn the shishya or the disciple. In this way, the guru is most helpful, or more helpful even than God. So this position has to be maintained for the natural growth of Shraddha, or faith of the disciple. The disciple must see the Guru as absolute. Then Srila Sridhar Maharaj said that a room apart or a room alone has to be maintained in our institution or our constitution, meaning the setup of the Krishna consciousness movement. Although it is one movement, just like one house, there must be a separate place where these absolute dealings or private dealings can go on exclusively between guru and disciple without interference of any constitutional law or society unity needs. So what adjustment has to be made? Then he said that the adjustment should come from the acharyas themselves. Let them bring about an adjustment whereby acharya and acharya, acharya and GBC or godbrother, disciple and disciple can interact in harmony. In other words, by saying that the acharya should bring it out, not that it should be forced upon them. So, then he said that this sentiment has to be honored. It is not that this is unimportant. It should not be neglected. Not that the law is everything. So, of course, this is specifically applied to the case at hand, that the GBC, in this case, is representing the law. But even more important is the affectionate dealing and the absolute dealing of the disciple and the guru, which cannot be interrupted if we are to have any society at all.
Lord should come to promote the Shraddha, to make room for the faith to develop. Such law should come to help us. Shastra. Shastra's jurisdiction is limited only to promote love. And when love comes, it will be free. Smooth, harmonious working is possible only in the area of love. Spontaneous. That is also some sort of heat as Madhura Rasa and the Vatsalya Rasa. But all to please Krishna, harmony is there. But Ragavir Bhavana Bodhi, Vaidhi Bhakti Adhikarastu Ragavir Bhavana Bodhi. Vaidhi Bhakti, that devotion under guidance of Shastra, laws and rules, that is to certain extent. It will only help the inner element of love and affection, and it will retire. The law will retire, giving room to the spontaneous flow of love, loving service to the Supreme. The law is not all.
Sridhar Maharaj continues that law, such as in our society, should come to promote the Shraddha between disciple and guru. The law should help it develop. Shastra's jurisdiction is limited only to promote love. Then, when the love is promoted, it will continue freely, spontaneously. So, again, as with the two different rasas, which are both absolute but appear to be against each other, these things have to be adjusted. Law of society and the free exchange between guru and shastra. But Sridhar Maharaj is indicating that the supreme or superior one is the love, and that the law should serve the loving relationship of guru and disciple, which is the absolute position. In this way, with everyone trying to please Krishna, there will be harmony. Then Sridhar Maharaj quoted a verse about Vaidhi Bhakti and Raga Bhakti. So he said that Vaidhi Bhakti is devotional service governed by the Shastra rules and regulations. Now, this jurisdiction can only go to a certain extent, and that its purpose is to help the affection grow. And then, when that is done, then the law should retire, giving room for the loving service to the Supreme. Beginning again.
It is necessary, and especially in the lower stage. And it should room for free movement between the relationship. Just as I told once, that one does not marry. No room of any, no necessity of any room, separate room. He may lay down here and there. But whenever he marries, he wants some room to behave in a this particular way, some private arrangement. So when the one is next to disciple, that sort of relation should find some independent press to express its fullest feeling, unbridled feelings towards the master. That should not be covered by law. So,
Sridhar Maharaj said that the rules and regulations are especially applicable in the lower stage. And again, the purpose is to make room later for the free movement of loving exchange. Then he gave an example that if a man is not married, then he doesn't need his own separate room. He can lay down here or there, anywhere. But when he gets married, then it's different, and he needs a separate room, a private room, for his activities with his wife. This example is given comparing it to the relationship with the disciple. When a devotee takes on disciples, then, and when he is then next to his disciples, then he and they should find out an independent place to express their relationship, to allow the unbridled feelings of the disciple toward the spiritual master to grow, and this should not be checked by law.
Law is also necessity of law, and the law's object will be to work out for freedom of everyone. Freedom is the highest thing. Free service is raghumarga, and that is service proper, not regulated and coerced and pressed by law. That is no service. Especially our aim and object is Vrindavan, a free service. Without freedom, that is not service, is not valuable. Forced labor is no labor. Labor of love, that is required. And it is the thing for which all are out. Let us sincerely think that we are all out, not only for a constitution, but for which the constitution has been made, to that object. That which constitution should promote to that aim. With this feeling, the newcomers are coming with their faith, and the faith should be encouraged, and also adjusted, that one faith of one person may not disturb another. And not disturb. And the acharya will come down to settle, though I do not want such honor. Then the disciple has got nothing to do with. I don't like this. Duty of the acharya, that is responsibility with them. I don't do it. Honor him, I shall be honored. You honor my brother, I shall be honored. This sort of spirit should be taken in if we have to keep up the institution. And not that the committee is going to limit acharya. The limitation what is necessary when we are in one organization, that must come from the acharya, who are the real holder of faith, voluntary.
Sridhar Maharaj said that the law's object is to work out the freedom of all. He stresses that service is free. That is service proper. Service can't be coerced or pressed by law, because our ultimate object is Vrindavan, which is free service. Without freedom, force is no good. It can't be forced labor. That's not devotional labor. But it must be labor of love. So, the constitution of a society should promote that aim, so that when the newcomer devotees approach, their faith will be encouraged in their spiritual master. Faith of one disciple cannot be disturbed by another's faith in his guru. So the acharyas have to come down to settle this. Not that the disciple will have to figure out his own opinion. So the acharyas, they will not disturb the faith of another group of shishyas by speaking against their guru. And everything will be in order because the acharyas themselves must respect the relationship. So if we want to keep up our institution, we have to honor the disciple's relationship with his guru. So it is not that the constitution of the institution can limit the acharya. That won't be right. When limit is necessary, as it is in our organization, it will come from the acharyas, who are the real holders of faith, and it will come voluntarily.